Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here with Celeste Headlee, back from a week off.
I am.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. Indeed. Off the market,
indeed,
per se.
So a civil ceremony, your wedding, right?
Right. The mayor of Montclair, actually.
Thinking about the Bible this weekend, Mayor of Montclair, New Jersey.
Yeah, Montclair, New Jersey.
Well, you got some serious clout there in
your
home community. That's great. But thinking about the Bible over the weekend, because you got these fires in Moscow, you've got these floods in Pakistan. If you took Noah's Ark and the Book of Revelations and put them together, you might get a sense of what 2010's nightmarish weather extremes.
If one would want to go there, it does seem like an angry God. Yeah.
Well, certainly the people who are in those situations must feel something. Javier Blas joins us now, commodities correspondent for the Financial Times in London, and Andrew Kramer, a correspondent for our partner, the New York Times in Moscow. Let me review the bidding here. We've got 1,300 people missing from floods in China. We've got hundreds missing in Indian-controlled Kashmir. We've got 15 million estimated to be displaced in Pakistan. Meanwhile, in Russia, the wheat crop is threatened by a severe record drought and heat wave that's caused fires, and a cloud of smoke is moving across the northern hemisphere. Andrew Kramer, how are people and the media in Russia describing this heat wave and the consequences of it?
Well, it's certainly been severe, and I don't think Russians have to turn to their newspapers or televisions to find that out. In the capital, there's a very thick haze in the air that's it stings the eyes and it leaves a bad taste in the mouth. It's been quite extreme here this summer.
And is the government sort of rallying in sort of emergency mode here? Medvedev spoke over the weekend. Vladimir Putin was the one, I believe, who made the decision to stop all wheat exports, grain exports out of the country.
Yes, that's correct. There's been a lot of movement by the government. I think there's concern on the part of the government that people will be angry about the wildfires, about the heat. And there's also an old fear in Russia of shortages. So the grain decision may have been based on insider economic interests or even considerations of Russia's national interests. But I think it was also a reaction really to the popular concern about the heat here and addressing this old fear of shortage. People were worried they would not have bread.
And we, as we saw all last week in Pakistan, climate goes directly to political instability, and that's certainly what Russian leaders seem to be responding to there. If we look at the last 12 months in Russia, Andrew, the global warming or whatever this weather comes from has had the effect not only of a heat wave this summer, but also a really profoundly difficult winter. It seems as though the impact is to increase volatility on each end of the extremes.
I wouldn't know what to attribute the hot weather this summer to. To add to the debate, I could say what some of the Russians have been saying, and their meteorological service is saying this is the hottest summer ever on record in Russia, in central Russia, since 130 years ago. And just today, one of their meteorologists said that they believe this is the hottest record, the hottest summer in the record of Russian statehood going back 1,000 years. Now, I'm not sure exactly how they measured that, but that was the statement.
Well, Javier Blas, with those kinds of records falling in Russia and with Russia as big as it is, what sort of ripple effect do you see on commodity prices, on estimates of food demand and consumption rippling through commodities prices?
Well, for sure, Russia is one of the largest wheat exporters right now, and also a major exporter of other grains. And we need to put it in the context of the region. We look at the Black Sea region of Russia, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan. We are talking about 25% of global supplies of wheat and about 50% of global exports of barley. That's a key feeding grain. So the impact is huge, and it means that because we have large inventories, large stocks of grains that we were just building over the last 2 years, it means that we have just enough grains to cover the shortfall in Russia. But if any other weather problem appears on our horizon and people are beginning to be worried that Australia is also too dry, then we could go into big problems.
And as we saw 2 years ago when speculation began to fuel all kinds of spikes in commodities, Javier, how much time do you think we have before a sense of uncertainty and these inventory declines really put us right back where we were 2.5 years ago?
I think that we are not back in 2007, 2008. We are in a dangerous situation, but we are not in a crisis situation. I think that it's going to depend on two things. The first one is how the weather pans between today and the end of the year. We have two major crops that they are critical for global supplies right now on the ground in Australia and Argentina. Those are breadbasket countries that supplies about 10 million tons each of wheat to the export market. So critical will be probably the weather around September, third, fourth week of September, critical weather then. And the second thing is how much Russia could plan for next year.
Right.
And here the weather is very dry still. It has not been raining. And farmers in Russia need to be planting their wheat for next year in the next 3 to 4 weeks. If the bad weather continues there, then is when we are in a bad shape for 2010.
All right, well, that's definitely a very clear picture of what to look forward going forward. Javier Blas, commodities correspondent for the Financial Times. Thanks, as always, from London. Andrew Kramer, what are Russians saying to themselves about what's going on here? I mean, Russians are famously metaphorical about these kinds of fluctuations, hot, cold, that sort of thing.
I think they. I don't know if there's a metaphor, but they're saying it hasn't been this bad at least since 1972, when there was a major fire outside Moscow.
And you're in Moscow right now?
I am.
And I mean, can you smell the smoke? I mean, is it evident as you drive around the city?
Absolutely, it's everywhere. It seeps into the buildings. It's in the metro, and it's very hard to escape.
And I've seen pictures on all the news services of that huge fountain in the middle of Moscow that Muscovites are actually jumping into. You haven't managed to avail yourself of the fountain waters, have you?
No, not yet. Our office is air conditioned.
I see. Andrew Kramer. So when the pitchforks come out into the streets, they'll be headed for the New York Times.
That's right.
Andrew Kramer, correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, talking about the situation in Russia. The wildfires caused by the record heat wave. It hasn't been this bad for 1,000 years, according to some reports out of Moscow.